I guess we got on the lines right now, State Representative from Concord, Kathy Rogers. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. More importantly, how's Romeo?
Oh, he's fine. He just had his breakfast. He's waiting for his mid-morning snack. But for you, he'll do anything.
Romeo the Wonder Dog. Hey, we've got you guys in the House are going to reconvene for the first time for the session next week, I guess, right? And there's a lot
Wednesday,
on the table.
Thursday and Friday.
A lot on the table.
Yeah,
all kinds
of fun things.
I feel like your version of fun and mine are two different things.
Well, anything can be fun. But Romeo's pitching, and I apologize for his barking. He wants to be heard. So
I understand.
I'm trying to make him be quiet. But if he jumps in.
He's welcome.
What we do for the first week of the session is what we call retained bills and any vetoes that come through. And retained bills are bills that we didn't finish with the first year of the sessions, ones that got put aside to be dealt with by the committees in the fall. And the committees met sporadically in the fall and came back with recommendations that we'll deal with Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. And it's a whole range of things. And I thought that it might be interesting to talk about kind of the range of what some of the more interesting or fun ones that we're dealing with next week. And the first one actually would be fun for you that I just want to bring up, and it's out of the Commerce Committee, and it's a bill that would establish a committee to study the best practices for companion animal groomers. And animal groomers in the state of New Hampshire have absolutely no regulations, no licensing or anything. So you and I could decide, for instance, to do a, poodle pug grooming salon and put out our shingle, if you will, and just start grooming poodles and pugs and with no background and nothing and just sit out there and collect people's money at whatever rate we wanted to. And it would be up to the consumer to decide whether we were qualified or not, which is very much unlike if you and I wanted to go in and get our hair cut or our nails done or anything like that. The state has some regulations and certifications and licensing involved. And this
There's no licensing of any kind for animal groomers?
And so I'm sure you've seen stories over the past couple of years of people that have had some tragic events happen with their animals. So
one right in my own hometown.
Study. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this would look into what should be done, how it should be done, and so forth. And one of the arguments against having anything done is that there's really no appropriate government body, their argument is, to regulate this, where some say it should be the Department of Agriculture that regulates a lot of things having to do with pets and animals. Others argue that, who within the Department of Agriculture should regulate this. So that's a very pointed question, whereas I think maybe there should be some regulation of grooming. That's a good question. Who would regulate it? What department of government would you go to have regulate it? The Board of Hairdressers really isn't appropriate because where they know a lot about hairdressing, they know very little about animal hairdressing. The people that regulate nail salons don't know anything about dog nails. The Board of Veterinarians have a lot of knowledge, but do they have the time to do it? So there's a lot of questions involved, and it should be an interesting debate on the floor. The committee vote was split 10-8, which is a close vote, and the majority is saying that it shouldn't pass, that it's inexpedient to legislate because they are all these questions. And the minority is saying, well, because of all these questions is why we should have a group study it and look into how we do it. So they both bring up some interesting sides. And I'm really kind of undecided. I mean, I'm leaning towards the fact that we should have somebody regulate it. But good questions on both sides. So there's an example where you don't necessarily have a partisan view on something, but you have interesting sides on both ends.
No, it is. And there actually are good arguments on both sides of that story. I did not know about it, so I don't have an opinion yet. I will tell you that we shouldn't open up a poodle and pug grooming because during COVID, I did try to clip my own poodles, and it was a disaster. They kind of looked like monsters.
Oh. Yeah. And it's Romeo's a bad idea. Gonna be like, right now, like, if you try to clip me, lady, you're going to be in big trouble. So,
right.
Yeah, I think we stay out of that business. You and I would not be good at that.
No, but. No. We're, you know, good with cuddling our puppies and playing with them and let someone else take care of their,
right.
You know, their
teach
hygiene.
Some tricks, maybe.
Yeah, maybe some tricks. Now, there's some controversial stuff coming up, too.
On to something we probably do have opinions on is the Criminal Justice Committee. Has a number of bills, but two of them that I pulled out that I thought might be interesting to folks. One is a bill that would prohibit, and I'm going to read right from the title, provocations based on a victim's actual or perceived gender identity, gender expression, or sexual orientation from being used as a defense in a manslaughter case. And what this is in some states, there is a defense that's being used that's a so-called LGBTQ+ panic defense. And this legal strategy asks the judge and jury to find that the actual or perceived gender or gender identity or sexual orientation of the victim, and that alone, was to blame for the killing. So that
whoa. It's to say, if I kill you because I hate gay people and you're gay, but I really hate you, so therefore it's justifiable. Is that what you just said to me?
Well, if you panicked, if you found out that there was some altercation going on or something happened, and you found out at the spur of the moment that I was gay or transsexual or one of these gender items, and you panicked in that, and it caused you to kill me, that you could use that as a legal defense for why you killed me.
I panicked over what?
Justifiable.
If I panicked over what? The person being
over
gay?
The fact that you found out that I was gay or transgender, and it triggered a panic in you that ultimately caused you to kill me. You could use that as your defense in the trial. And in some states, that's something's been used as a panic. So this bill was put in. It is not something that's happened in New Hampshire, but it was put in as a put in before it was used, I guess you could say, so that it could not be used as a justifiable defense, and it would prohibit the use of this defense in a trial. It's been very controversial, as you could imagine, in many other states where it has been used. And so this bill was put in before it could come up in this state. It's coming out of the committee as an ought to pass. It was a vote of 13-8, which is a fairly close vote. It was a nonpartisan, again, split. It was not a Democrat, Republican on this. It was across party lines as to how it broke down. And the people that argued against this said that, well, it hasn't happened in New Hampshire, so why do we need to worry about it? The people that said we ought to pass this said, well, let's take it off the table before it gets used in New Hampshire. Hmm. So we won't have to worry about it. But it's an interesting situation. And again, it will be an interesting debate. I think the saying, well, it hasn't happened in New Hampshire, so why worry about it? It's kind of short-sighted. It seems to me like, well, why don't we deal with it before it's used so we don't have to worry about the controversy after the fact? But thought that was an interesting bill to talk
about.
That
is interesting. That is an interesting one. One I was not familiar with until you shared.
Yeah, it's one that, again, where some people want to be ahead of the curve. Something that's not always something we do in New Hampshire.
or another any one that legislature just, or governing body.
Exactly. No, I'm not isolating out of New Hampshire. No, many governing bodies don't like to be ahead of the curve. We tend to react rather than be proactive. Another one also in criminal justice is requiring public notice before immigration checkpoints are conducted. Now, these are checkpoints that are done by the federal government when they want to find out if people are regulated and legal immigrants. And that might sound like a strange thing that you announce ahead of time, but I'll point out that when we do DUI checkpoints, when we do other kinds of checkpoints in the state to find out if people are legal, we do, in fact, announce them ahead of time. In fact, there is a legal requirement that we have to do those ahead of time. when I was a prosecutor and we used to do DUI checkpoints or speed checkpoints or these kind of things, when we went ahead to the court and got all the regulations for it, one of the things we had to do was have a plan for how we would advertise them ahead of time. That was part of the Constitution requirement. So this bill would simply extend that to the immigration checkpoints. And as you might imagine, the argument, it came out of committee as the majority ought to pass. It was, again, a close vote, 11-9. It was not a partisan vote, once again, went across party lines. But the argument against it, as you could imagine, was, well, why the heck do we want to announce them if we're doing them to catch people that are illegal? Wouldn't that tip them off? Well, not always. So that's the argument for that bill. But again, this is a nonpartisan bill and brings up some interesting points. Why do we want to announce it ahead of time?
That's a good discussion.
But other ones are.
No, it's a good discussion. Representative Rogers, I know there's so much more. We could probably keep you on here for an hour because there's so much you guys are taking up. We're going to follow it closely. I know Jack keeps up with it. And good luck. Have fun. Be well. And I hope to talk to you again very soon.
Okay. And just one last point to make.
Yep.
Then people should understand these are not – all of these I mentioned were nonpartisan. And everybody thinks we're so partisan up here, but in fact, the majority of them are not.
Which
so
is a great sign. That is fantastic.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Have
bye,
a great
Romeo.
New Year, folks.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.